listening. You're listening to WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. I'm Ella Alexander, and this is WNUR News at 6. Tonight, a bookstore brings warmth and community to Evanston. Northwestern students talk favorite mobile games, guidelines on becoming a regular at local shops, and two reflective and comforting poems. Those stories and more are coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. What are you willing to do for success? Follow J. Pierpont Fish as he climbs the corporate ladder and how to succeed in business without really trying at the FLM Barber Theater, February 20th to March 4th. Get tickets now at words.northwestern.edu or call 849-491-7282. Experience this fun twist on a Golden Age musical only at Northwestern's Wirtz Center. The cold weather makes for a perfect day to curl up with a book. Sora's Place in Evanston offers a place to do just that while supporting a Black-owned small business. Jessica Watts has more.
Every day you enter a bookstore with a burnt orange couch. Even more rare, a Black woman-owned bookstore, almost exclusively featuring Black women authors. Sora's Place in Evanston has both.
It is very chaotic in the world right now, and I want this place to be a sanctuary, a safe space.
That was L'Oreal Thompson Payton, owner and founder of Zora's Place. She is an author, journalist, yoga instructor, mother, and lover of books.
Starting a bookstore was not on my 2025 bingo card by any means, and it all came together so quickly, but I do believe that's in large part because of the serendipity of, like, it was meant to be here in this space amongst other Black-owned businesses in this time as well.
Zora's Place is the first and only Black woman-owned bookstore in Evanston. It also exists in a space for and by Black creatives. The Ox opened in May 2025 on Washington Street. It's a collective of more than 10 small businesses, all centered around wellness and racial equity.
That idea of reinvesting in our community, pouring our dollars back into other businesses, you know, business owners who look like me and are trying to, you know, do something for their family simply behind this legacy, that's all very important to me and everyone in this space as well.
Zora's Place is named after author, filmmaker, and anthropologist Zora Neale Hurston. Her work was some of the first to feature Black life in the South. Hurston's novels are just a few of the ones featured in store.
And then here we have our, like, DEI, social justice activists, Black feminist works, memoir, but there's, you know, other texts as well that, just kind of spans, again, our health and wellness, spirituality section. So we've got Evil Rest, Patricia Hearst, Hip and Nap Ministry, Anish Moladara's books as well. This one's mine. So that one is there too. And this is just, to, like, Sick White Girls Breathing, being how you must, like, self-care and rest are no longer, like, you know, nice to haves for us as Black women. I feel like it's, you know, must haves. And so these are texts that can help support you in that, especially, you know, in these times.
L'Oreal didn't come to the idea of a bookstore by coincidence. She says it's the best medium to send a message.
Books are under, you know, fire, honestly. And so it feels very, like, this is my form of protest and activism, is to, like, stand 10 toes down and be like, we're highlighting, promoting Black women authors and Black women-owned businesses.
Banned books are becoming more common. PEN America says the U.S. saw the highest number of book bans during the 2023-2024 school year. A large number of these books were written by Black authors. But unlike other trends that may die with the test of time, books last forever.
Books are, I mean, they just open up a world of possibilities from the time that you are literally, like, a baby through, you know, we've had women in their 80s coming in here as well. And there's just something about the worlds that books can transport you into.
Evanston is no stranger to promoting the well-being of the Black community. It has a rich history of advocating for and protecting Black entrepreneurs, business owners, and residents. In 2019, Evanston made history as the first city in the U.S. to fund reparations for its Black residents.
You know, in Evanston, we are still the minority, but we have a very strong presence and we just deserve the world and more. So this is my effort to help support that.
For WNUR News, I'm Jessica Watts.
Wordle, Candy Crush, Clash Royale, Roblox. These are just some of the mobile games that have kept people glued to their screens. Olivia Payne spoke to NU students to see what games they had on their phones.
Another pastime for both kids and adults, as they give users a quick way to have fun, challenge the mind, or escape from the stresses of the day. Many people have a variety of games downloaded, but is that the case everywhere? In such a high-stress environment, do Northwestern students still have games on their phone? McCormick's second-year Shaylee Fabian has many different games she likes to play in her free time.
I have Minecraft, Roblox, Wordscapes, Heyday, I love Heyday, Happy Color, which is a coloring game, and then Animal Restaurant, which is just like a restaurant simile.
For those unfamiliar, Animal Restaurant is a management simulation game that stays true to its name and features different animals working in and developing a restaurant. These cute cartoon games are perfect for when Fabian wants to relax.
When I'm like winding down for bed, like I like to watch YouTube videos, like long form YouTube videos on like random stuff, even I'll play a game on my phone. But like when I'm watching movies, I like to play a game.
Relaxing or cozy games have grown in popularity since 2020, with games like Animal Crossing and Stardew Valley leading the genre. Communication sophomore Sarah Waits finds a balance between calming and challenging when it comes to her games.
I have New York Times games, I tell you that every day. Block Blast, it's like Opera Tetris game. And then I have Starbrew Cafe, which is just like a cute little cozy merging game.
Waits isn't alone in her enthusiasm. The New York Times games such as Wordle, Connections, and The Mini became well known in 2022 and have become a favorite of many students. Waits now sees them as part of her daily routine.
I like got into the whole New York Times games trend back when I started, so it was just like a habit. It's not even like a game to me anymore.
For communication student Jordana Lenahan, mobile games were most important in her childhood.
I was definitely a Subway Surfer kind of girl. I'm really like Subway Surfer. I also Roblox. That's what I did when I was like younger.
But now, Lenahan has offloaded most of the games on her phone.
When I watch TV or something, I like to like have another thing going on, or like I'd download them because I would like, instead of doing homework, I'd just be like playing them.
First year Josiah Ijala takes a different approach to playing games on his phone.
I use my phone as like an emulator for the most part. I usually emulate SNES games, Genesis games, PS1, PS2, and Dreamcast games.
Super Nintendo Entertainment System, or SNES games, can't typically be played on a mobile device. Emulation opens up a new world of mobile gaming by allowing games of the past to be played on devices of today.
First of all, you basically can download a software that allows your phone to act like a different console. It's a different one for different emulators. Like there's like Citra for 3DS, there's like Vita 3K for PS Vita, there's RetroArch for PS1, and there's like SNES 9X for SNES games.
So whether it's childhood favorites, the hottest new trends, or innovations in gaming, by and large, Northwestern students do have games on their phone. For WNUR, I'm Olivia Payne.
In today's Well-Versed, Ileana Zemus shares poems from two contemporary poets that reflect on identity, sense of self, and our relationships with others.
Welcome to Well-Versed, WNUR News' poetry segment, where you'll hear timely readings to introduce you to some new poets and help you reflect. Valentine's Day is coming up, and I've been thinking a lot about my relationships with others, not just romantic relationships, but my relationships with my friends and family, and how they shape me and my perception of myself. One of the poets whom I will be sharing today really wades through these themes in her work. Emily Skejo was born and raised in Northern Illinois and has an MFA in creative writing from Purdue University. She then went on to receive a PhD in creative writing and literature from the University of Cincinnati soon after releasing Brute, her debut poetry collection in 2019. Brute explores Skejo's sense of self after the end of a relationship and was the winner of the 2018 Walt Whitman Award. Here is I Have Read the Whole Moon by Emily Skejo. In March, I drop an egg, hoping a bird will fly out disbelieving science. All the manuals tell me this is a logical contract. You commit yourself to a shell, and you end up flying. Fine. Stone after stone, I'm defacing the river of being in love with you. True, I don't care how that sounds. I have a list of cuckoos to transform my body. Uncontrollable shaking. Sleep paralysis. Dread of eating.
I'm guilty of pretending the roads to your house are no longer roads, but deer paths angled crooked through the marsh. Again, the water doesn't stop. It rains even when the weather is overdue. A holy parallel. Our mouth is rotted and anonymous. The bed needs oars. I'm interested in dust, but only new dust arriving unmarked after you leave. After you leave, you leave, and thickened in sludge, I've been glued open. Self as spectacle. Yolk marble. Unburred. Emily as grave pillar, as salt lick, as dammed up, luminous, and thread. I have read the whole moon cycle. It doesn't explain the cracks. Mercury, for once, cannot be blamed. My dishes float in soap, like little planets. I drop my hands in the sink. They come up feathered. When it comes to familiar relations, Catherine Barnett, a poet from Washington, D.C., bases many of her poems on her perspective as a mother and wife. She has won the James Laughlin Award from the Academy of American Poets for her book, The Game of Boxes, and has been published in a variety of journals and magazines, including the American Poetry Review and The New Yorker. Barnett teaches at New York University and Hunter College. Her poem, Sun in August, tackles an issue all of us know very well, leaving our families to go to college. Here is Sun in August by Catherine Barnett. Dignity, I said to myself, as he carried his last things into the dorm. It was not a long goodbye, nothing sad in it. All I had to do was turn and head up the hill. All I had to do was balance on 2 feet that seemed to belong to a marionette who had no idea what came next or who governed the strings. There's no emergency, I told her. Just get back to your car. That's it. That's all that's required. I didn't mind accompanying her. I myself had nowhere to go. She drove east, then farther east, under a river, through a tunnel, until she found herself back at home with a purpose. And that purpose was to recognize the green on it, to find a key in a pocket, to fit that key in the lock, take off her shoes, drop them on the floor with others left there like old coins from a place she must have visited. Worth something, but what? There were no clues in the medicine cabinet, none in the cupboard, none in the freezer, where she found old licorice and bitter honey shoved next to a Ziploc of bluish breast milk, all of it frozen solid over 19 years, into some work of art, a sculpture, an archaic something or of something. She looked at my hands reaching into the freezer, or I looked at hers. They were strong, worn, spackled with age as they removed the milk ice stashed like weed far in the back. Do they even make this stuff anymore? What's it good for? What was it ever good for? Repurposed, she thought. Isn't that the word the kids keep saying these days? Hey, sweetie, she called the unoccupied room. Hey, love. It was so hot, the air from the freezer turned to steam, and she took the ice into her own hands, held it gently against the back of my warm animal neck, until something began to melt, and I was alone. Thank you for listening to Well-Versed. Reach out to your loved ones. Listen to your favorite song. Make plans with your friends. This has been Ileana Dimas for WNUR News.
It's almost the middle of winter quarter, and college students are taking refuge in the coffee shops in and around campus. But does going to a coffee shop every week make you a regular, or do you have to stand out from the crowd? Reporter Mika Ellison has the story.
A coffee shop is the quintessential college spot, almost more iconic than a classroom or a lecture hall. Coffee shops are the backbone of college society. Students and professors alike spend hours of their time in the various establishments scattered around MSD. As the midpoint of the year approaches, new students might find themselves asking one crucial question. Am I, like, a regular here? But what exactly is a regular? And is it really as great as it's cracked up to be? I asked two former student baristas and one seasoned regular to find out.
I think it's the personality that makes someone a regular. I think it's like how they carry themselves.
Medill senior Olatunji Osho-Williams was a barista in Cafe Bergsum, the cafe space in Main Library, for 3 years. He's seen his fair share of customers, and he even considers himself a regular at the local coffee shop. According to him, the criteria for being a regular is pretty simple.
I think the biggest thing is that they, like, spell your name correctly and they don't really need to ask you again. And they usually get the same thing every time.
But there's another type of regular that seems like a level up from the regular regulars. Regular premium, if you will. Instead of just being a consistent presence, they become a character in a barista's life, whether it's due to a certain personality or a particularly unique order.
I had another dude, less dramatic. He was just, he would order a cortado, and it was annoying because I never liked making cortados. One, because I wasn't great on it, if I'm going to be honest, but two, it just seemed kind of lame because I don't understand the point of getting a cortado, because it's like the only time I ever ordered a cortado was when I was lacking dining dollars. It was the cheapest option. But this dude came and said, like, can I get a cortado? And we're just like, first of all, relax. Second of all, sure.
In this case, being a regular is less about consistency and more about a flair for the dramatic. Making an impression could level up your regular status.
There's one dude that I remember, and he'd always order like a double shot of espresso. He's a very serious man. He looked very dramatic too. Like, he could be on like the set or like in the cast of Vikings.
Weinberg Jr. Witty Wong, another former Cafe Bergstein barista, mentioned what actually might be the same regular.
I know we chat whenever we see each other, which is cool, but I knew him by his order because he always got one shot of espresso. Just straight up, which is crazy.
A lot of the allure of being a regular comes from the idea that you're more than just a normal customer. You're a cool customer. Wong doesn't disagree with that idea, but if you're thinking that being an official regular means your barista is also your bestie, you might be making a mountain out of the molder.
I just think it's a little fun. I think if I like the regular and we really click, then that's great. It's like seeing another friend in like a specific environment. But it doesn't matter super much to me whether they exist or not.
But what about the bona fide regulars? Long is now a regular at the current cafe in Cafe Bergson. She described how even a quick exchange with someone who remembers you could feel all warm and fuzzy.
I feel like I'm a regular here at whatever it's called now, because one of the baristas, they're always chatting with me, and she'll be like, oh, how's, like, whatever going? And I'm like, you remember, it's so nice. I'm not even here that often, so it's really nice.
McCormick Senior Paloma Lee is an established regular at Coffee Lab, where her benefits are more than just emotional.
I feel like it's nice because they know you, and, like, they have a reward system, but I don't like their drip coffee, and they know that, but because I have so many points, they give me my, like, Americano for free when I use my points.
What's Lee's secret to this familiarity? Just a simple adherence to routine and a willingness to engage in conversation.
Just go to Coffee Lab around the same time for a quarter. And then talk to the people.
Yeah.
They're pranks.
In fact, being a regular could even get you a job.
I was a regular at Brew before I was hired.
And after all, if a coffee shop is college's most quintessential spot, trying to be employed is probably its most quintessential struggle. For WNY News, I'm Nika Ellison.
Now, for a brief look at the forecast. Though not as unbearable as January's lows, the next couple days will be very cold. Tomorrow, you can expect temperatures to range between 15 and 25 degrees Fahrenheit. It'll be cloudy with no chance of precipitation. Friday, the temps will be slightly warmer, at a staggering high of 35 degrees. While cloudy as well, there's a 50% chance of snow in the early morning. Both days will be very windy, as usual for Evanston. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe, Evanston Fishworks and Union Pizzeria organized a Melt Ice Knit-Along to support Sanctuary Evanston, the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights, and the National Immigrant Justice Center. The total amount raised exceeded $5,000. Hillary and Bill Clinton have agreed to testify against Jeffrey Epstein amidst pressure from House Republicans. They will be deposed on camera on February 26th and 27th, upon request that the proceedings be public. On Tuesday, Russia unleashed an attack on Ukraine's power grid. This sparked discussions between Russian, Ukrainian, and American negotiators to work out a potential peace agreement. The negotiations are expected to continue tomorrow. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR News stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Our producer today is Savannah Bond, and our reporters are Jessica Watts, Olivia Payne, Ileana Dimas, and Nika Ellison. I'm Ella Alexander. Catch our next newscast Friday, February 6th. Now, back to scheduled programming.